Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits.
Welcome to Game On with Grace. Grace is on holiday, so you're stuck with me, Todd Myers, for the next 60 minutes. Think of me as the impact sub host for Game On with Grace. Today we're joined by one of the most explosive batters in world cricket. Whether he's launching bowlers into the stands from New Zealand, lighting up franchise leagues around the globe, or rewriting record books with the San Francisco Unicorns, Finn Allen has built a reputation for fearless cricket. In this episode, we'll talk about his incredible rise, life on the road, what goes through the mind of someone who attacks from ball one, and plenty more away from the cricket field. Game on. Finn, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on Game On with Grace.
Thanks for having me. That'll be good fun.
So I know you are a guy who likes to hit centuries, but do you like it when the temperature is a century?
Yeah, it's obviously coming back to Dallas. It's been pretty hot. A bit different coming from LA and San Fran. It was a bit colder at nighttime, but thankfully we got a few night games, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Good. Well, we'll all be watching your bat get hot, hopefully, and the temperature's cool in the evening in Dallas. So this show is all about competitive drive. So we'd like to start with some Game On icebreakers. What's something completely non-sports related that you're just way too competitive about?
Oh, I wouldn't say I get too overly competitive about much. I was going to say golf, but non-sport related. So it's probably not too many things that I do, to be honest. It's probably all sports orientated, to be honest.
Well, then let's pivot and tell me about your golf game. I know you're an avid golfer. Tell me about your competitive drive on the links.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not always going to plan at the moment. But in America, we've been fortunate to play a few pretty good golf courses. We played PGA Frisco yesterday, where they're having the PGA Championship next year. So that was good fun. Me and Luandre lost on the last hole to a couple of our coaches, so that always hurts.
Was there money on the line? a dinner, steak dinner perhaps, something? Pride?
No, we actually had nothing on the line. I think Luandre was a bit nervous, so he didn't want to chuck anything on the line, thankfully.
Well, after his great performance a couple of nights ago, maybe next time he gets out there, he'll have a little more confidence on the golf course as well. What's one moment in your cricket career that best sums up your competitive drive?
Oh, look, I think probably the most recent one that comes to mind might be the World Cup semi-final. I think coming up against South Africa, probably the best bowling attack in the tournament. Batting with Seifert, good mate of mine. You know, we really wanted to stick it to them. Get in the fight and show that we deserved the spot in the final. And we kind of got in the zone and we were doing our thing. We probably didn't talk as much as we usually would because we were so, competitive. But also we had that hunger to, perform for our country.
Well, you certainly had a phenomenal semifinal. I mean, that's one that people are going to remember for a very long time. So that's your competitive side. Who's the greatest competitor you've ever played against? And what do you think gave them an edge? What made them different?
Greatest competitor I've played against would probably have to be Live Virat. I think the way that for so long he's been able to get in the fight for every game he plays in, and he's really competitive, really passionate about whoever he's playing for, whether it's RCB or India. I think it just shows his competitive nature, and it's really obvious to probably everyone watching. He'd have to probably be number one.
What do you think still, if you were able to get into his brain, what still drives him to train so hard? I mean, at some point, people just say, "Look, hey, I've accomplished so much in my life. I'm getting closer to my career. I'll kind of live off my laurels." That's not Virat at all. I mean, the dude works out like a machine. It's insane.
Yeah, look, I think some people were just, that way inclined to get the best out of himself. He obviously identified that, he needed to to be in that sort of mind frame when he's playing. And obviously it works. A few of us could probably try that ourselves, but I just don't, I guess you have to be incredibly fit in the way that he is to be that passionate and outgoing when he's playing. It's incredibly admirable. And I guess it just shows, you know, his character and how much he's willing to give to the game.
Fantastic. And speaking of competitiveness and playing against people such as Virat, which of your current teammates, either in Unicorns or New Zealand, would you just never want to play against in a pressure situation?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess probably someone like a Matt Henry springs to mind. If you see, you know, his performances over particularly the last few years, you know, he really steps up in big moments for his country and, you know, he's an incredibly talented bowler. He's certainly got the wood over me when we've come up against each other a few times in the past. So especially with the red ball, still probably have nightmares about that back in the day. But yeah, I think someone like him, you know, he really loves to step up in the big moments. He's also incredibly passionate and he really gives his all for whoever he's playing for. So yeah, probably Matt Henry.
What opponent like flips a switch inside of you that just says, I'm taking it to the next level. I'm running through that wall. Is there a particular franchise T20 team you've played against or again, from an international bilateral side?
Oh, I think, again, someone who probably springs to mind more recently is someone like Kagiso Rabada. I guess, you know, when you're coming up against him, you know, he bowls fast, he gets in the fight, he's competitive, might be a few words exchanged every now and then on the paddock. Just someone that, you know, you really have to be up for, because if you're not, then they're probably going to clip your ticket. Guys like Sunil Narine, you know, you have to really be on to get the better of those guys. So those competitive challenges are something that, you know, I really enjoy. Again, playing with Sunny was quite fun to see a different side of him and I guess try and figure out a few more of his tricks. But yeah, then coming up against him in MLC, it's been fun to play against him again after playing with him.
So you mentioned having a few lines to say. Who is the best trash talker either you've played with or against? Is there someone that has said something to you on the field that's just like, you know, gotten either under your skin or into your head?
LeAndre would probably like to think that he's pretty good at it, playing with him this tournament. Against, I'm not sure. Nobody really massively springs to mind. I haven't really had too many run-ins with people on the park. But, you know, there's certainly a few Aussies out there that enjoy to have a few words every now and then.
I'm sure. And how about you? Have you dropped any trash talk lines when you're on the field? And if yes, can you repeat any of them on this show?
It's probably not really my area of expertise. I'm probably not intimidating enough for people to be too worried about me having a few words to say. But no, I just generally try and just get on with my business, try and stay focused. Otherwise, I'll be away with the fairies.
Yeah, well, you certainly do your talking with your bat. So I think that's probably enough trash talk for anyone.
Yeah, I try to.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to get into the human behind the hype. Would Finn rather win a gold medal or an ICC T20 title? Find out next. It's time for the human behind the hype, where we're going to slow things down and zoom out from the stat sheet. Finn, you know, you're known as one of the most aggressive batters in the world. Off the field, are you naturally as energetic and aggressive as you are, or are you more laid back?
I would definitely say I'm a lot more laid back than on the field, for sure.
How so?
I don't know. I guess probably a pretty relaxed guy, I would like to think. You know, living in New Zealand, it's a pretty slow-paced life as well, which is nice. It's something that I really enjoy coming back to, especially, you know, off the back of being away for so much time of the year. Yeah, definitely enjoy being a lot more relaxed and chilling out than anything more than that.
Well, I've never been to New Zealand, but I'll have to come visit some point and you can take me out and beat me on a golf course, but we'll have a good time.
Yeah, you definitely have to. It's a beautiful country.
Yeah, would love to come down. I've been to Australia, but I need to go one country over and check out New Zealand.
Oh, it's far better than Australia.
Oh, I won't tell any of the Aussies you said that, but yeah. Hey, speaking of beautiful things, your swing is one. And last year with the San Francisco Unicorns, you had maybe one of the greatest T20 innings ever. Did that change your, I don't want to say change your life, because you were already a well-accomplished batsman before that, but did that knock have any kind of residual impact on how you were perceived on and off the field or by fans?
Oh, I suppose every time you put in a decent performance, I guess it for yourself, it's kind of, I guess, that reassurance. And, I guess playing so much T20 cricket, you fail a lot. You have to learn from a lot of failure. And I guess when you put in a performance like that, it's just a little, I guess, pat on the back every now and then, just to remind yourself of what you can do and what you are capable of. And I guess, yeah, for myself, I guess have to have a lot of belief in that. And then looking back on those kind of games or doing them, I think it just gives you that sort of, yeah, as I said, pat on the back and a little bit of self-recognition sometimes, probably something that I need to be better at. But yeah, it just encourages you to want to do it again and gives you something to emulate for sure.
Well, it feels like playing in LA about a week or so ago humbled some batters. Brand new wickets, got to get broken in. I mean, I'm sure it'll be wonderful as they continue to play on it more. What was it like being in LA for the first time playing cricket with Hollywood as a backdrop?
Yeah, this whole tournament has certainly humbled me for sure this year. But LA was cool. I think there's a lot of potential for that ground. Obviously, knowing the Knight Riders camp from being on the inside, I know that they strive for excellence in everything that they do. So I have no doubt that when we come back next year, that ground will be, top quality, especially once the stadium is built as well. But yeah, it was cool. I'd never been outside of the LA airport, so to experience a new city and play some different golf courses as well was good fun. I enjoyed spending some time there, and as you said, it was a different kind of cricket, right? It was challenging for sure, but I definitely enjoyed it as well. It's fun to not just try and smack every ball for six, have a bit of batsmanship every now and then. So. Didn't work out too well for me, but no, it was enjoyable still. Yeah,
well, I'm sure next year you will get revenge on those bowlers in LA. So I'm very confident about that. Did you and your teammates do any of the, I say, typical tourist activities in LA? Go see any famous homes, do the Walk of Fame, drive up to the Hollywood sign?
No, we didn't. A few of the boys went out to Rodeo Drive and West Hollywood and all that, but yeah, golf was probably the main focus for me outside of cricket. So I went down, played a course around our hotel the first day, and then I think on the Thursday or Friday I went down to meet Seifert, my manager, and Stoyn, and we went and played a nice course, had a good dinner. So probably not the typical LA experience as a tourist, but it was definitely enjoyable.
Well, when you come back next year, we'll have to make sure we get you signed up on a bus tour. Check everything out in Hollywood. It'll be a lot of fun. But, if we were to fast forward 2 years, how incredible would it be to win a gold medal at the LA 28 Olympic Games?
Oh, yeah, it'd be incredible. Obviously, the Olympics as a cricketer, it's certainly nothing I ever thought would be a possibility. I'm not sure how likely it is New Zealand will get to go. But, I think, it's something that, as I said, not something you'd think about growing up, but the experience in the Olympics would be pretty special. And as I said, seeing the potential that ground has in LA, I think it could be, it'd be an incredible fixture to be a part of.
Which would be bigger for you, winning a gold medal in LA 28 or potentially in 32 when it's in Australia, or winning the ICC T20 World Cup? If you could only pick one of those, which one would you pick?
Well, I guess just as I said, as a youngster growing up, you watch the World Cups. It's probably the biggest draw card for a cricketer, and it's one of my biggest drivers is wanting to win a World Cup. So having gone close this year, probably just fueled the fire a little bit more. Having the next one in New Zealand and Australia as well would be pretty special to do that at home. So I'd have to say probably T20 World Cup.
Okay. Well, if you win a gold medal, you can, you know, just hand it to me. I won't tell anybody that I wasn't actually on the team, but certainly winning at home the ICC T20 World Cup would be a magical experience, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, it'd definitely be pretty special.
Well, you fly all over the place, LA, Dallas, home playing matches, life on the road. What is one thing that you pack on every trip that no one would expect you to actually pack?
Oh, what no one would expect me to pack. I don't know. I quite often, when we went to the IPL, I took like 50 up and go drinks with me. They're like a, I don't know if you have them here. They're like a pre-made breakfast drink kind of thing, like a chocolate smoothie kind of vibe. Yeah, I brought like 50 of those over. Just if I woke up, couldn't be bothered going to breakfast, just smack one of those in my room.
Sounds like a good thing to pack. I mean, you got to have breakfast. It's, you know, the best way to start the day as they go. Do you bring your own golf clubs, or when you do play, do you rent clubs from wherever you're playing?
No, I definitely take my own everywhere. The first bag we pack for sure.
Has the airline ever lost your golf clubs or misplaced them for some period of time that you know, had to miss out playing or were forced to use, you know, someone else's clubs?
I've had them left behind before, but luckily I got them back a couple of days later, so I didn't miss out on too much golf. Yeah, I was lucky.
That is good. I mean, that'd be one of the, you know, challenges, right? When you're packing, you know, your golf clubs along, hopefully they don't get damaged, and the fact that they don't get left on the tarmac. So, yeah,
it's always a worry.
So other than golf, when you're, you know, you spend a lot of time on the road traveling, I'm sure golf is a sport that you play to, in addition to being competitive, it helps you relax a little bit. What do you do to just completely switch off the cricket brain and just recharge your battery?
Yeah, I guess being on tour, we probably spend a lot of time in our rooms, watch a lot of Netflix. Yeah, love trying to find a good cafe, have good coffee. Yeah, it's getting better here in America, thankfully. But yeah, as I said, I probably don't do too much touristy stuff in these new spots. I guess we come to a lot of the same cities now, so that's kind of already been ticked off. But yeah, just try and spend a lot of downtime, get in the gym, ice bath, sauna, keep the physios happy. But yeah, nothing too crazy.
Okay. Two more questions for this section of Human Behind the Hype. What is the most used app on your phone right now? And by the way, it's okay, Finn, if you want to say the Willow TV app, because you're just watching so much cricket.
Yeah, it would be up there. Probably Instagram, to be honest. A lot of doom scrolling at nighttime. As I said, time in the room. So yeah, get the Instagram reels going, probably a bit too much. Our coach, Cam White, keeps sending me reels of his golf course back home. So yeah, been flicking through a few of them.
Is that a way to have him tease you a little bit? So when you come home, this is what you're missing out on? Or is it like, when you come home, look how good I've gotten at the whatever par 3 15th hole, I'm taking you down?
Yeah, no, he's definitely trying to show off how good he's got it back home. So there's been a lot of chat about who's got better golf courses, Sam Bowden in Melbourne or back in Auckland. So he's definitely trying to tease me there a little bit.
Finn, currently, what is your biggest pop culture obsession? A song, a show, a movie?
Oh, I listen to a lot of music in my room. Always bring my speaker on tour. Music, probably. I just listen to a lot of Frank Ocean, maybe a lot of old school rap music as well. It's for probably music.
Well, it's time for a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're talking cricket, pressure, and the moments that shaped Finn's career. Well, welcome back, everyone. It's time for the Sports Roundtable. We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but Finn, let's talk about that incredible 151 for the San Francisco Unicorns last season. At what point during that innings did you really realize this was going to be a special outing?
Oh, to be honest, it was one of those days where you almost black out whilst it's all happening and you don't quite realize what's going on until you know, a few days later, I guess I knew it was a pretty good wicket. So my sole focus was, you know, try and score as many as I could as quick as possible. And then, you know, once I got past 100, probably the only time I thought about my score is when I thought, you know, could maybe try and push to get 200, which is pretty greedy. But yeah, as I said, you know, betting with, I can't remember who I was betting with. I think I was with Jake Fraser-McGurk at the time. But yeah, we were just talking about, you know, we need a good score here. I think we got 260 odd or 270. And even watching the Washington boys start their innings, I thought we were in a chance to lose that, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't say there was probably a time where I thought it was going to be special until it was all over.
How was playing in the different franchise leagues, Major League Cricket, Indian Premier League? What have you learned from playing in those leagues that you're able to apply and become a better international player?
Yeah, look, I think with T20 cricket, it's a different art form to the other two formats. I guess the more you play, the more you figure out your game. And probably the hardest thing is consistency, especially, you know, trying to strike high all the time. So I think what I've probably learned from the leagues to take to international cricket is just figuring out my method a bit more and understanding that, you know, it doesn't need to change with international cricket. It's probably just a little bit harder. So you have to be a little bit more disciplined with your method. And then, yeah, you just learn how to get the best out of yourself on tour, which you can also take to international cricket.
And Finn, how do you reset? When we talked a little bit earlier, you mentioned about, you know, hey, MLC hasn't gone exactly how you've planned this year. I mean, again, the bar was so high from what you did last season, so I don't know if anyone could replicate that again. But how do you kind of mentally reset after a couple of, I'll say, outings where you probably didn't score as much as you would have thought going into the match?
Yeah, look, I'm always looking to learn and try and get better. I think you have to with playing so much cricket. I think it's important to have good people around you. Our coaching staff have been really good. You know, whether I would have scored 100 or zero, they're still the same people. And as you said, it's probably been 8 games where it's been pretty frustrating and I felt really good. It just hasn't quite clicked. So yeah, to have them, I guess, behind me and reassuring me that, you know, everything's all good, not to stress or worry. And I guess having my partner at the other end, Lou, doing so well makes things a bit easier as well when the team's winning. So, yeah, and I think probably mentally you just have to have a bit of a goldfish memory, to be honest. T20 cricket, whether you feel great or don't feel so good, you know, you still doesn't guarantee you scoring runs. So I think trying to start each day as a new day and new innings, trying to, I guess, control my arousal levels is a big thing that I'm working on at the moment. Not being too up or too low, trying to find that sweet spot in the middle, which is probably the most challenging thing for me. So yeah, I think, as I said, just always keen to learn. Every failure is a chance to learn, and albeit some of them pretty frustrating at times. Yeah, I think you just have to look at it like that to, well, that's my view, is look at it like that to continue trying to find success.
And Finn, as you do try to stay, I'll say, more even-keeled when you're on the field, like, is there another level, I guess, an aggression in T20 batting? I mean, it's a little bit insane where it's started and where it's come to, especially if you look at, like, IPL scores where, you know, if teams aren't scoring over, if you bat first and don't score more than 200, I don't have the stats in front of me, Finn, but it seems like the odds of winning are really low. Like, it's almost like that's the new barrier. Like, can batters get any more aggressive in this format than they already are?
Yeah, I think that's probably a bit of a cause and effect of the impact player rule. You know, teams have an extra batter now, so you've got 8 guys that can, you know, bat anywhere. And I think it shows probably guys at the top of the order who are probably taking a few more risks or looking to be a bit more aggressive, you know, how much they can take the game on. I think it's exciting. I think there's still exciting cricket to be played with scores below 200 as well, which is probably what we're seeing here and even probably in that India-England series as well. So, look, I think, yeah, it's exciting for world cricket, seeing, you know, the way the IPL is going and those big scores. But I also enjoy seeing a bit of graft every now and then and guys really having to work for their runs too.
Well, a couple of days ago, one of your teammates didn't have to work super hard for runs. Alejandro de Pretorius, you loaned him your bat and he smashed his first T20 century. What I want to know is, like, did you charge him per run? So I'm giving you my special bat. Every run you score, you're going to give me, you know, $100. Like, how did the rental on that bat work out?
Yeah, a few of my mates are giving me a bit of stick back home saying I probably should have used that one and given him the one I was using. but yeah, no, he just wanted to give one a try for the game. And yeah, he's a really good man. So I was happy to help out. And yeah, look, I don't think it would have made a difference. He could have batted with a stump and he probably would have still scored 100 the way he's seeing it at the moment. So no, there was no charge fee. I did actually say to him before the game, if you score 100 with us, you can keep it. But I've just reminded him that we've only got four more games together as teammates and then we're opposition again in the 100, so I have to take it back. But can't let him use that against
me. Yeah, for sure. You don't want him to have that bat over in the UK. That's for sure.
Exactly. But yeah, as I said, I think the batter side, he would have scored them with anything. You know, I've been incredibly impressed with him. He's only 20 years old and he's super talented and yeah, he's a really good man. So to see the way he's going, I'm not surprised at all. Yeah, he's a good man.
Well, the sky's the limit. Hopefully he has a great finish to Major League Cricket as well and also a lot of success going forward. But when you get the bat back, you can show him that 200 you were talking about. You're like, this is how you actually swing this piece of wood. Sorry, you got your 100. One other item for you, and this one may seem a little odd, but you're wearing a hat, but you've got a great head of hair, unlike myself, as you can probably tell. Who, in your opinion, has the better dome, Danny Morrison or Andrew Leonard?
Oh, look, I'd probably get a bit of stick from Danny if I didn't choose him. Good Kiwi friend of mine. So, yeah, I'd have to go with Danny.
And do you have any concerns that someday you'll also have to put suntan lotion on the top of your head like I do and Danny and Andrew do?
Well, I was shaving my head for a few years. I've got so much hair that it's probably not something that I'm too worried about at the moment. Yeah, I'm lucky to have good genes, I guess.
Well, I'm going to say, like, if you're voluntarily shaving your head, that literally is a crime against humanity for all of us that are follically challenged. So I think you hopefully have not set yourself up for in 40 years being like me.
Yeah, hopefully not. No, it's not too bad. You pull it off. It's all good.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Finn. I do the best I can.
Yeah, there you go.
We've got another break coming up here. When we come back, we've got our blind ranking challenge. Will Finn pass or fail? You have to come back to find out. All right, Finn, since you played for the San Francisco Unicorns, we've got a mythical twist for you. It's time for the Blind Ranking Challenge, Mythical Creatures. I'm going to give you 10 legendary creatures, one at a time. You have to rank each of them from 1 to 10 as I say them. You don't know what's going to come next, and you can't change your answers once you place them 1 to 10. Are you ready for this competition?
Yeah, let's give it a crack.
All right. The first one is dragon.
A dragon. What am I ranking them on? Based on what? Just my favorite.
Yeah, your favorite, maybe what you think is the most fearsome, but we can go with your favorite. Whatever ranking you want to come up with.
Okay, I'll go dragon at number 4.
Okay. I'm writing them down so I can track them with you. The phoenix.
Number 7.
Okay. The kraken.
The kraken. Number 3.
That's a good one. All right. How about a griffin?
Number 8.
These are going to get harder. I'm just letting you know. the Yeti.
Oh, the Yeti. Jimmy Neesham. we'll go number 5.
Number 5 Yeti. All right. How about a lovable leprechaun?
A leprechaun. It's not very fearsome. We'll go number 10.
Okay. A mermaid.
Ooh, a mermaid. What have I got left? I've got one, two.
You have, yep, one, two, six, and nine are left.
I'll go six.
Six for mermaid. The Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, I'm playing for a Scottish team soon, so I should probably put that up pretty high, shouldn't I? Go number two.
Absolutely. Number two. How about a werewolf? You have one and nine left. One or nine?
I'll go nine.
Well, I want to say, I'm going to give you the last one, and I'm going to say you have, this wasn't a test, but you have passed.
It's a unicorn.
The last one is the unicorn. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know how that worked out. I'm glad you didn't put unicorn as 10, but you know, you passed. You won this competition.
There we go. We nailed it.
You did. Grace has done this with a couple other folks, and some of them have not turned out well. But you so far have been your number one ranking, getting unicorn as your top spot.
There we go.
Well, that was a lot of fun to do the blind ranking challenge. We'll be right back with the final whistle when we find out which shoe Finn puts on first. Let's see if your guess is correct after this quick break. All right, now here we're at the final whistle, where I'm going to toss you some rapid-fire questions, and we're going to wrap up the episode. If you could swap lives with any athlete for one day, who would it be?
Oh, David Beckham.
Tell me why.
Oh, I've just always liked David Beckham growing up. I think he's a pretty cool guy. Just someone I'd like to see how he lives.
Sidebar, are you watching the World Cup?
I've been watching, yeah. I went to the England-Croatia game in Dallas, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Do you have a favorite to win? Again, now we're taping this before the championship match, so, you know, you could be well off here, but do you have a prediction?
I've got my family's, half of my family's English, so I should probably say England, but I did say I think France will win it. They're probably smack-bang favorites at the moment as well. Yeah.
Okay, we'll give you two. We'll give you England and France, so you can be right either way.
Perfect.
Which teammate would you want on your trivia team?
Oh, which teammate? He just walked in the room. I'll say Oliver Peak.
Done. If you had a cricketing superpower, what would that be?
Hit the ball a lot further than what I do would be nice.
Okay, well, that would be challenging considering how far you already hit it, but we'll say every ball you're going to hit out of the stadium. No matter what stadium you're in, it's going out in the street.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay. You do play a lot of golf, which we've touched on. Do you drive for show, or are you better at putting for the dough?
Oh, I've just got a new putter, so I'd have to say that's working pretty well. So putt for dough. Driving's not so good at the moment.
Okay. Hey, putting is where it's at. If you could play one golf round with anyone, who would you play with?
Oh, I'd love to play with Rory. That'd be pretty cool. At Augusta.
Oh, well, that is a good one. I volunteer to be your caddy for that. I think that would be a blast. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What's your most used emoji on your phone?
Oh, probably just the laughing emoji.
Okay. I think mine is probably the thumbs up, or actually the cricket bat emoji.
Thumbs
I
up.
Think,
no, that's the worst. There's nothing worse than just getting a thumbs up back.
I'm old, Finn. I mean, like, I'm just going to block and tackle basics, right? So that's why I'm giving a thumbs up. But I hear you. I will try to step up my emoji game for you. I will make that happen. Do you have a hidden talent that no one knows about until you reveal it on this show?
Nah, I honestly don't think I do. Not that I can think of. It must be hidden.
Sing,
if I don't
play
know
an
that.
Instrument?
No, I'm useless.
Yeah, it's super instruments.
Can't sing, can't dance. Nah.
Can you juggle?
I can juggle. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Juggling. We'll take juggling as your hidden talent. Is there an American-based sports league or team that you follow?
Oh. No, I like watching basketball, but I wouldn't say I have a team at the moment. I'm not a big enough follower to do that. I used to like Kyrie when he played for the Cavs, but at the moment, no, probably not. Not anything I'd be able to rattle off enough to sound like I'm a proper fan anyway.
Okay, well, and again, you whizzed the blind ranking challenge. Here, the answer would have been the San Francisco Unicorns. So,
there you go. You know, I'm one from two.
And you want to say, hey, that's still great. 50%. That's pretty
it's
good.
It's a pass.
It's a pass, 100%. What's the weirdest superstition you've ever seen in cricket?
Well, I've got plenty of them myself. What's the weirdest I've seen? Not sure. There's probably a few that I do that are a bit weird. Every time I get padded up, I have to put my kit and my shoes on the exact same way every time. Otherwise, it just feels off.
And what is that order? Is it like right side first, left side for like, I'm intrigued.
Nah, it's left, right, always left to right. But it's always, yeah. There's a lot. We probably don't have enough time to go through them all, but. It's always starts left and ends with the right.
Okay, well, the next time if you have a under par outing, I'll be like, I think Finn put on the right shoe first and that completely messed this up. So now we have the inside scoop. Hey, Finn, this has really been a lot of fun, from the record breaker innings to life on the franchise circuit and everything in between. It's really been fantastic getting to know you a lot better. I really appreciate you joining Game On with Grace.
Matt Tuzzi, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. If you love this conversation, make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts and share the episode with a friend, of course. We've got many more legendary guests, hilarious debates, and big stories coming your way, so stay tuned. I'm Todd Myers, and until next time, keep it competitive.